preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
God, you are mighty. You are the creator. God, you have given us your word. You have given us your revelation of truth. Father, we believe and know and can prove that the Bible, your holy scriptures, Lord, are truly inspired and infallible, Lord. We thank you for the proof of prophecy, archaeology. Lord, you have proved your word is true. So, Lord, we just ask you today to open our eyes, to help us see what's in your word, what's happening in the world, to connect the dots, and to prepare, and to be a light to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. We got a lot going on this morning. Hopefully you can see this. I know I may be in the way a little bit, but we kind of have to do this for the camera. But if you have a hard time seeing on that side, maybe you can shift this way a little bit. Got a lot to cover. Last week, we did what I called It's All Happening, and we covered Israel in the last days. And I really didn't plan on doing that one, and I didn't plan on part two, but I'm just praying in the... And the Lord spoke to me, and it was pretty clear. He said, I want you to do part two. It's all happening, and this is on the mark of the beast. Now, I've talked a lot about this, but there's things transpiring that make it even more relevant right now. Anyway, I hope everybody can see this. Can everybody see the screen up here? Pretty good? Is this in the way too much? Okay. Telling me I put in the incorrect password. How can that be? There we go. But everyone get your Bibles out this morning. First and foremost, we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 13. And again, we're going to talk about the mark of the beast because to me, as it should be to many people, this is probably one of the most significant prophecies in the Bible. The book of Revelation. Book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John approximately AD 95, AD 96, when he was an old man, much older man by this time. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And it says he heard a voice say, come up here. And he said immediately he saw a door opened in heaven, and he was caught up, I believe, into heaven, and God showed him everything he wrote down in the book of Revelation. Now, you can say you don't believe that. You can say it's a fairy tale. You can say it was just the imaginations of some old man that was hallucinating, senile, or, you know, got on to some wacky mushrooms. But the accuracy of the prophecies in there, even though he used, you know, God gave him visions, and those visions had to be interpreted. And the reason God gave him visions, a lot of it, not all of the book of Revelation is visions, but one of the reasons he gave him visions is so it can be concealed until the time of the end. Now, the prophet Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12, his, you know, Daniel is the book of Revelation of the Old Testament. And so Daniel said, the Spirit of the Lord said through him, said the book, these things are sealed until the time of the end. That means they're concealed, they're hidden. You won't fully understand. Even Daniel did not fully understand the things that he was writing about what would happen in the last generation, in the last days, in the end time. I'm sure the Apostle John, as he's seeing all of this stuff transpire in his first century mindset, could not comprehend everything he was writing down. He was just writing what the Holy Spirit gave him to write, what he saw. Now, folks, listen to me. I want everybody to look at me real quickly here. The book of Revelation, AD 95 to AD 96, this is a fact. This is a historical fact. We have manuscript evidence. We have ancient manuscript copies. The book of Revelation was written long time ago, almost 2,000 years ago. I want you to think about that. 2,000 years ago, no cars, no airplanes, no computers, nothing like that. Now, in the book of Revelation, we're going to turn there. We're going to read there first, Revelation chapter 13. And this is of utmost importance because I believe our generation, and I really believe very soon, we're going to see the implementation of what was written 2,000 years ago. And it is a salvation issue. See, you know what's amazing to me as we look at this, because we're going to look at a passage in Revelation 13 and 14. The people who believe you're once saved, always saved, no matter how you live your life, they always have a problem when it comes to this, because I say, what if a Christian takes the mark of the beast? You say, well, Christians will be raptured out of here. I don't believe you will be, and I'm going to talk about that today, too. But let's just say you are. Even people who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture believe that there are going to be people saved after the rapture takes place. So what happens if a born-again Christian takes the mark of the beast? Well, according to the Bible, according to Revelation 14, what we're going to read in a second, the Bible says, if any man takes the mark of the beast, he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and the smoke of his torment will ascend up forever and forever. The Bible is very clear. To take the mark of the beast, to worship his name or his image, is an eternal damnation sentence upon you if you do it. Now, we have preachers in America. Preachers in America, and I'm going to give you one very famous preacher in America, John MacArthur. Anybody ever heard of John MacArthur? John MacArthur, in one of his services, was asked, what if a Christian takes the mark of the beast? I have the audio clip. Now, we're not going to play it this morning because I got too much to cover. We played it on our radio show many times. But he was asked, what if a Christian takes the mark of the beast? And he said, well, they'll be saved. They'll still be saved. Because he believes in once saved, always saved, no matter what. Okay? Now, if you've got a minister who is that well known, who has tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of followers, he's on Christian television, he's written a commentary Bible. I mean, he is one of the most well-known preachers in America and probably in the world, and he's telling people it's okay to take the mark of the beast. If you're a Christian, you're still going to go to heaven. And the Bible says the complete opposite of that. Are we living in a day when deception is taking over the church world? I believe so. Now, we've got another set of preachers. You ready for this one? I guess we'll play this. We've got another set of preachers, and I'm going to make some people real mad today. But let's put up the fair use thing first. We've got to notify Facebook that we invoke the fair use law. Oh, you did? Okay. But we notify Facebook that we invoke the fair use law because this is strictly for educational purposes. But I'm going to make some people real mad live in this area. Because we have another set of preachers that either make light of this issue or ignore it altogether. And one in this town in particular, well, not necessarily in this town, he has a church in this town, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the Church of the Highlands, Hodges, Chris Hodges. This was 1 year ago, clip I'm going to play for you, and this is going to be an illustration of a systemic problem within the church world, particularly the mega church world. Let's play the clip. This is from January 2016. January 17th, actually, I think it was. 1 year ago, almost exactly. It's playing, but no audio. Sorry, folks.
Miracle. Well, now, as you know, we're living in this right now. This is where we are in history, and there are a bunch of people who are rejecting it. And honestly, this should alarm you. They're rejecting it at a whole new level. So some of you who are my age or older, you remember there was a day where the church and the Bible and prayer, it was accepted everywhere, everywhere. It was very little difference between the church and the world. Today, they couldn't be more polar opposite. And the world's going their way again. And you know which way they're going? I mean, I don't even have to read the Bible to tell you this. You can see it in the news. They're going back to a one world government system. The Antichrist will be the final broker of this. But that alliance, my friends, is happening already. I mean, there's a reason why Russia is involved in the Middle East. It's aligning with biblical prophecy to the T. And that's all happening. I personally believe that whole thing could play itself out in our generation. You're seeing this one world. And, of course, the Antichrist will institute a buying and selling system, one currency, the mark of the beast. I mean, you're going to have on your hand or your forehead his mark to be able to buy and sell. You go to Walmart, boop, you're going to have to do that to get your stuff, all right? I mean, it's... I feel like you need a little comic relief right there in the middle of all that. Well, of course, you know, God's going to see this, and he's going to bring his church to heaven. He's going to come again, and he's going to judge and destroy the...
Now, that's enough right there. Now, what's amazing is, and this is the devil's genius, how he does things. Just like Satan did with Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, and particularly with Eve when he was deceiving Eve, Satan said several things that were the truth and then slipped in his deception. This, he said several things that I agree with completely. Yes, we are headed to a one-world government system. That's absolutely true. We are headed to the Antichrist. We'll be the final broker there. I agree with that 100%. I believe it's going to happen in our lifetime, in our generation. So, again, all of that sounded good. Most Christians would be nodding their head going, amen, amen, amen. And then we get to the most important part of that little discussion, the mark of the beast. And he says to his congregation, the thousands listening on different campuses, oh, you're going to have his mark on your forehead. You're going to have to go to the grocery store and to Walmart, and boop, get your stuff, and everybody laughs. And I'm like, well, I saw that. I was like, This is the greatest deception the devil could tell the American church. Make light of it. In fact, the Bible said that the false prophets, the false teachers, would be light and treacherous individuals, meaning the word light means they would be frivolous about serious matters. Now let's read what the Bible says. No minister in his right mind should be frivolous about this issue in the last days. All right, let's read it. Revelation 13. And I'm not going to read the entire chapter because we're going to get on over to verse 11. He talks about another beast coming up out of the earth. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, that is a statue or a picture, and that they should worship that. In verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now here's a 2,000-year-old prophecy. Let's keep reading. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, and free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66, or 666. All right, now, let's quickly, before I go into this part, let's look over, and you can go ahead and go back to the, I think I have Revelation 14, 9 through 12. Here it is, Revelation 14, 9 through 12. If you don't know this passage, you ought to learn it, because you're going to be facing this. In fact, I'm going to show you that the global world leaders and the global economy, they want to have this cashless system instituted between now and 2020. Not my words, theirs. I'll show you that in a minute. But here's what, this is such a serious matter. Any pastor who is not warning his people or is mocking this or making light of this is going to have blood on his hands, because this is a salvation issue. Revelation 14, 9 through 12 says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, name shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. So let me just make it very clear to you. If you worship the beast or his image or receive his mark in these days that are ahead, and that beast is twofold. The beast is both the beast world government that the UN will transform into, really already is, and the man that's coming that will lead that world government, the Antichrist. If you worship him, now what do people say, what does worship mean? The term worship simply means, in the Greek, means to kiss the hand, to bow, to show reverence or respect to. Meaning, if you reverence, respect, pledge allegiance to the new world order, the new world government system and the man that will lead it, then you have denied the faith of Jesus Christ. You have broken the commandments of God. You have committed, hear me, an unpardonable sin. This is how serious this is. There's no coming back from this one. There's no second chances. If you do this, when this goes down, and it's coming fast, you will be lost in hell forever. And many are going to take this mark because they want to feed their families. They want to be able to go to Walmart and boop. And how a preacher of tens of thousands of people can't give a warning, I don't even comprehend that. Christian light is Christian death. You hear me? It's disturbing. But let's look at a few, just a few, as we get into this. Let's go on to the next one. Here's the word mark. Now let's get the definition of it from the Greek. This is important stuff here. Karagma is the Greek word. It means a scratch or etching, that is a stamp or something that is graven, sculptured figure, something that is engraven, a mark. All right, so the Bible talks about the mark is something that's going to be scratched or etched or engraved. Now remember, there's a lot of people with many different opinions out there about what the mark of the beast is. But here's what we do know. It has to be something that goes in or upon your hand or your forehead that will enable you to buy and sell. It has to be economic. It has to be connected to bank accounts and purchases. Everybody agree with that? Now, the book of Revelation says it's something that's going to be, I believe the King James is the most accurate translation about this, and it says it's going to be in the hand or forehead. It never said on. So it said it was going to be in. I'll show you more about that in a second. But let's go to the next one. Everybody has heard of silicon microchips, right? Silicon microchips they're getting smaller and smaller. Nanotechnology is an amazing thing. But anyway, they're made out of these silicon wafers, which are made out of sand, basically. And they make these wafers, and then they run these circuits on them. But how they make these circuits is very interesting. It's a process, and you can go to the next one. Part of the process is called photo etching. Literally means engraving using light to engrave circuit paths on a silicon microchip. And this shows you the process of how they do it right here. That's why you see all these weird lines. The way they engrave those, they use light, UV light, lasers, different things. But anyway, it's called photo etching. So remember, the Bible says the mark is something etched, something engraved, something scratched that's going to be put in your hand or in your forehead that will enable you to buy. So now remember, this is a nearly 2,000-year-old Bible prophecy that they say is fairy tales, right? Written by men, fairy tales. But 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle John, warned the Antichrist system that would come into power just before the second coming of Jesus Christ would have something etched going in your hand that would control all buying and selling worldwide. Think of the magnitude of that prediction. And it's happening now. Let's look at it. Is there something that can go in your hand or your forehead? Let's keep going. This is more of the photo etching process. It shows you where it etches. Yes, there's this little thing. This is a company that makes this. It's interesting. They got the eye-looking symbol, it seems. It was a good old Illuminati eye hidden in the logo. But this is called an RFID, radio frequency identification chip. It's got a small silicon microchip in it. It's got a small lithium battery, about the size of a grain of rice. Let's keep going. This is a picture of it here. This is the tissue bonding cap. This is the antenna. It's wrapped around in here. This is the ID chip down here. This is the size relative to a dime. And here is one x-rayed implanted in someone's right hand, right here. Now, people all over the world, Australia, Sweden, different places, are already having these things put in so that they can start their cars, unlock their buildings, their doors. It is the new thing. Let's keep going. Now, this is from Wikipedia. Microchip implant. A human microchip implant is an identifying integrated circuit device or RFID transponder encased in a silicate glass and implanted in the body of a human being. A subdermal implant typically contains a unique ID number that can be linked to information contained in an external database such as personal identifications, medical history, medications, allergies, contact information, and what they forgot to put on there is bank account numbers. All right. Now let's keep going. The first reported experiments with RFID implant were carried out in 1998 by the British scientist Kevin Warwick. His implant was used to open doors, switch on lights, and cause verbal output within a building. After 9 days, the implant was removed and has since been held in the Science Museum in London. On March 16, 2009, British scientist Mark Gasson had an advanced glass capsule RFID device surgically implanted into his left hand. In April 2010, Gasson's team demonstrated how a computer virus could be wirelessly infect his implant and then be transmitted onto other systems, and it just goes on and on. Let's keep going. 2002, Verichip Corporation, known as Positive ID Corporation since November 2009, received preliminary approval from the United States Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, to market its device in the U.S. with specific guidelines. The device received FDA approval in 2004 and was marked under the name Verichip or Verimed. In 2007, it was revealed that similar implants have caused cancer in hundreds of laboratory animals. The revelation had a devastating impact on the company's stock price. Sometime between May and July 2010, the Positive ID Corporation discontinued marketing the implantable human microchip. In January 2012, Veritech Acquisition Corporation acquired the Verichip implantable microchip and related technologies and HealthLink personal health record from Positive ID Corporation. Veritech is the majority owned and led by Scott R. Silverman, former chairman and CEO of Positive ID, blah, 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 and it goes on. What's interesting about this is that in the book of Revelation in chapter 16, it says one of the things that happens to the people who took the mark, they break out in these horrible boils or sores. It's one of the judgments upon them. It's already been discovered that these things, if they break open, the lithium battery can cause a terrible, terrible sore boil. And it's also been proven that they can cause cancer, cause a cancerous tumor where they are put in. Of course, they're going to work on modifying these things and then tell you they're safe, like they do with vaccines and everything else. But just because they tell you they're safe, they're not. Here's the verse, Revelation 16, 1 and 2. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way, pour out the vials of wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them that worshipped his image. So there you have it. I don't believe that's any coincidence. All right, let's keep going. Now let's look at some of this in the news. We'll just keep going from here. Keep going. Here's a little picture of how they're implanted. I find this very interesting. That's a pretty big, that's a pretty big little thing they're going to stick you with there. And it, some of you now, you know, I could do it, but you guys, some of you would be, you know, passing out. I know some of you don't like those things. But notice the shape of it. It's interesting because it's almost like a fang, isn't it? Like a snake fang. Well, there's interesting passages of scripture that go along with it because see how a snake fang has the same type, has opening at the end that it puts its poison. You know, this is Satan's work, and this is Satan's end time plan for mankind. This verse here in Isaiah, we can just go to the next one here, calls Satan the piercing serpent. Now, isn't that interesting? Here's the verse, Isaiah 27, 1. In that day, the Lord with his sword and great strong sword shall punish Leviathan. Leviathan is just another name for the serpent or Satan. Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Pretty strong there, the piercing serpent. Just get into your mind. The serpents want to bite. They want to pierce you. I've been bitten by water moccasin, so I know firsthand what that feels like. All right. Leviathan, it just goes on to tell you that it's a serpent or a dragon, which are just names, different names for the devil. In fact, Leviathan in the book of Job is called the king over the children of pride, which we all know to be Satan, right? So let's keep running through this. We're going to go as quickly as we can. Now, here's the interesting thing, and this is something I want to show you that if you're going to stand up to what's coming, you stand up to the world government that's coming, to the beast world government, to the Antichrist, you have to be prepared to lay down your life for Jesus Christ. A lot of people aren't prepared to do that. I mean, we're not even prepared to suffer a little bit of economic disturbance or problem. Some of us don't even want people to talk bad about us, so we won't even open our mouths about Jesus or tell anybody the truth. I wonder how in the world we're going to keep from going to the store and Walmart when we got to go. A lot of people, I'm telling you, Instead of obeying the warning and the commandments of God, they're going to look at their children and go, "We got to eat. Give me the mark." I'm telling you, you cannot compromise. This is going to be the ultimate test of, will we trust Jesus to take care of us? Or are we going to continue to trust the government? You hear me? I believe this is why Satan's worked so hard, not just in America, but across the world, particularly in Europe, to make people dependent on the government, training them, preparing them, so they'll accept this. Because this is total control. But I want you to see something here. This is Revelation 20, verse 4. And in fact, you might want to just turn there, because I'm going to go down through the rest of those two more verses, really 20, 4 through 6. He says here, John said, "I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now go to Revelation 20. Let's read the rest of that. So he says, "For some of these people who will refuse to worship the beast," Christians who refuse to worship the beast, refuse to take the mark, they will be killed. They will be beheaded. Now I happen to know some things that you guys don't know. They got guillotines stored in different places. They're awaiting this day. They know this day is coming. But he says here about these people who refused the mark of the beast. They refused the mark, and so they were killed. They were beheaded because they would not worship the dragon. They would not worship the beast world government. They would not bow to the man. And he says here, listen what he says. And I'm going to read again. "I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." Everybody say, "First resurrection." Let me hear it.
First resurrection.
"This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Let me explain something to you right here. We've got the two false teachings that are the most dangerous in the last days for the church, for the Christian. Two false teachings. Number one, once saved, always saved, no matter how you live your life. Number two, a pre-tribulation rapture. Because what many believe is, none of this is important, none of this is going to be an issue because we're going to be out of here. But what if you're not? What if you're not? And then if you believe, well, I'm eternally secure, or if you believe, well, the rapture hadn't happened yet, so then this must not be the mark of the beast because I'm supposed to be out of here. This is great deception, and you need to understand why. The Bible says here that people who died, John saw in the future, and he said, the people who died were beheaded for resisting this, were in the first resurrection. Now, folks, according to the Bible, Revelation 13, 2 Thessalonians 2, even Jesus outlined in Matthew 24, the mark of the beast, when it is instituted, according to Revelation 13, says, is when that happens, it says the Antichrist has 42 months to continue. 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years. I know I got a lot of people saying that the final, there's not a final 7 years. It's only 3.5 years. Well, why is it talking about the Antichrist has 3.5 years to continue? It means he already had 3.5 years. The midpoint of the tribulation period of the last 7 years is when the mark of the beast is instituted. Okay? And then it'll take them a little time to get that rolling, to try to get it done with everybody that's survived World War III. And so, what will happen? How in the world do you have a pre-tribulation rapture or resurrection of the righteous before the mark of the beast, when the Bible says here plainly that those who died resisting the mark of the beast are in the first resurrection. There is no pre-tribulation rapture, which is a resurrection. The word rapture is not used in the Bible. The rapture is the resurrection of the righteous dead and we which are alive and remain. To believe in a pre-tribulation rapture is not scriptural, it's not Bible, and this cannot be. There is only two resurrections. Resurrection one takes place at the second coming of Jesus Christ at Armageddon. The dead in Christ are raised up. We which are alive and remain will be caught up to him at the same time. Then he descends and fights the battle of Armageddon. That's the only time the Bible says that the rapture takes place. In fact, Jesus said it three times in John 6. He said three times when he was going to resurrect the righteous dead who believed in him. He said, at the last day. Pretty clear, isn't it? At the last day, not 7 years before the last day. I know most of you have been taught that. Not Bible. The traditions of men, doctrines of men that didn't really start until the 1800s. A little 15-year-old girl had a vision, gave a prophecy, and then John Darby got a hold of it, and then they put it in your Baptist Schofield Reference Bible, and there you have it. It's spread all over the church world, but it's not true. Amen? And I could spend 2 hours just on that subject alone. But I wanted you to see this. I wanted you to see there are going to be people who will lay down their lives for Jesus Christ over this issue of not worshiping the beast or his image or taking the mark. That's how serious this is to God. Is it serious to you? This is what you have to ask yourself. If it's serious to you, you will not do it no matter what happens. And if it's serious to you, and you take this scripture and this, what's going to happen seriously, you will start warning people because you care about them. Amen? Now let's look at this. Hang on. Do you have the NBC one? Video that I sent you? Email? No? Well, then let's just keep rolling. Don't worry about it. Yeah. That's all right. Keep going. We'll just keep going. Here, we're just going to run through some. We're just going to run through some headlines. Everybody see that CNN money? What's it say here? This could be the first country to go cashless, and then they start talking about Sweden. Let's go to the next one. We're going to roll through these pretty quick. Here's Forbes. Everybody, Forbes magazine, right? The cashless society contemplating the ultimate surrender to government control. Forbes magazine. India unveils. Now, this is, listen to this. You think this can't happen quickly? This article is in Reuters, June 23rd, 2015, says India unveils plan to boost cashless economy, tackle tax fraud. This one just in the last few days, you can go to the next one. Look here. November 8, 2016, India goes cashless. India is the second most populated country in the world. Their president just issued and said, we're done. We're done with cash, with physical money. And they're in the process now of going completely, I mean removing, not just talking about it, removing all cash and coins. India, 1+ billion people. Let's go to the next one. Nordic countries point the way to cashless societies. Denmark, Sweden, Amsterdam. Banks and businesses. Let's go. Norway may become cashless country by, notice the dates coming up here, 2020. Let's keep going. Bank of Korea wants cashless society by when? 2020. Cashless Britain by when? 2020. Rwanda to be cashless by what? 2020. The government of Rwanda has announced a collaboration with MasterCard to fast-track the country's move to include 90% of its citizens in its cashless economy as set out in its Vision 2020 strategy. Now, here's what's interesting. Guess where Rwanda got this idea, and guess who's helping Rwanda do this cashless thing? Let's look at, oh, the United Nations. The beast, world government itself. Rwanda accelerates move to cashless economy by joining UN-backed alliance. Let's go to the next. Here's the article, October 30th, 2014. The government of Rwanda moved today to accelerate plans to transform into a cashless economy by joining a United Nations-backed initiative that supports countries' transitions to electronic payments. The UN world government beast is intricately involved in this. The World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, just like the Bible says, the beast, the world government beast, is pushing this. He goes on to say, with the assistance of the Better Than Cash Alliance, which is hosted by the UN Capital Development Fund, the government of Rwanda will transition all forms of government payments to electronic ones. Other aims include achieving 80% financial inclusion by 2017. Among other improvements, expanding the use of banking and retail transactions electronically, including fuel stations and by merchants and customers across the country. We welcome Rwanda as the newest member of the Better Than Cash Alliance and commend the government's leadership and commitment to continue transitioning away from cash. Dr. Ruth Godwin Groen, Managing Director of the Better Than Cash Alliance, said in a press release, "We recognize that while the opportunities of digital payments abound, getting there takes work, and we stand ready to support our members." She added, "Better Than Cash Alliance is funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Citibank, the Ford Foundation, MasterCard, Omiar, whatever network, that's some Arab network, United States Agency for International Development, and Visa Incorporated." Most of these are Illuminati or satanic worshiping family run. Working with governments, the developed community, and private sector to adopt the use of electronic payments, the alliance provides support to those who commit to make the transition. So look, I hope everyone sees this. UN.org. Pastor Dean, not a conspiracy website, not fake news. All right? They're telling you what they're doing and who's behind it. The Bible warned us of it 2,000 years ago, right? Let's keep going. Here's another one. UN.org, UN News Center. Ghana, the country of Ghana in Africa, teams up with UN-backed alliance to move towards cashless economy. Everybody see that? Let's keep going. Now, the United Nations, for those of you who don't know, and we're going to tie this into some other things here. The United Nations really most people don't know that it has a very spiritual side to it, but it ain't Christian. Okay? And the United Nations has a sponsored website, everybody. It's called the Aquarian Age Community. You can look it up. I want everybody to test what I'm saying. You can go look this up for yourself. Okay? But on the Aquarian Age Community website, it tells you that they are an NGO or a non-governmental organization in the United Nations. It also tells you that their website is sponsored by the United Nations, and it also tells you on there that they are the spiritual foundation of the United Nations. Everybody say this with me, spiritual foundation of the United Nations. These people. Now, these people had a little meeting in New York a while back, and you know what it was all about? It was all about preparing the way for the imminent appearance of the world spiritual teacher, the coming world leader. Folks, they know he's coming. The UN, they're looking for him. They're waiting on him. Now, to us, he won't be called the great world spiritual teacher. He'll be called the Antichrist. Oh, he'll sound nice. He'll sound sweet. He'll talk about love and peace and how all religions need to get together and make a better world. Oh, he'll sound like the Dalai Lama. He'll sound like Deepak Chopra and Oprah. They're all preparing the way. They're all these people like Oprah and Deepak Chopra, they're all the John the Baptist of the Antichrist. Multiple. They're the prophets foretelling the coming. But they know. Now, I said here the ACC was founded by the Lucius Trust. I don't want to get into that. Describes its mission. It was actually known before they changed the name to the Lucius Trust, the Lucifer Publishing Company. And they were part of the United Nations from its beginning. But they changed its name because it was too obvious, especially with their office number, 666 UN Plaza. So they had to start covering it up when people started catching on to things. But anyway, it says they described their mission as preparing the way for the imminent appearance of the great world spiritual teacher. And I know it's hard to read this, but the consultative, they are a consultative, official consultative NGO and association with the United Nations Department of Public Information, and their website is sponsored by the UN. So let's keep going here. The Aquarian Age, and this is what I'm talking about, but anyway, listen, I do need to read this. If you can't see this, I don't know why it's so dark up here, but anyway, the Aquarian Age community had a large meeting in New York in 2001 completely dedicated to the reappearance of the world spiritual teacher. In their report of the meeting, they said, quote, this is straight from their website. Everybody listen closely, because I promise you it's going to tie into the Mark of the Beast. In their report of the meeting, they said, the world spiritual teacher is known by many different names in the various religions and spiritual traditions of the world. This great being is referred to by such names as the Christ, the Lord Maitreya, the Thinker, the Healer, the True Aquarian, the Pilgrim, the Imam Mahdi, and the Batsiva. So what they're saying is that this man that's coming is going to embody the spirit of the spiritual leaders of all the religions, including he will be the Christ. He will be the Maitreya, the Buddha, the fifth Buddha, they'll call him. But also it's very important to know that this UN group, UN-sponsored group, says that the man that's coming to be the world leader, the Antichrist, will also be accepted by the Muslims as the Imam Mahdi. Now, the Muslims, for those of you who don't know, the Imam Mahdi, or the 12th Imam, if you read Muslim writings, the Sunnah, the Hadith, and I have read them, they have prophecies concerning this Muslim Messiah figure. They say in their prophecies, he will rule 7 to 8 years. He will make a peace treaty with Israel. He will come with a new economic system of justice. It's all in there. But let me tell you something. There's a little secret about to get 1.8 billion Muslims to accept a man as the Imam Mahdi. First of all, he has to be an Arab. He has to be a direct descendant of Muhammad. But according to the Bible, he also has to be a man, pretend to be a man of peace at first. A very educated man, a very respected man. So we'll have to be a very unique individual. There's several people I'm looking at that I think could be one. But let's keep going. Because the Mark of the Beast ties into Islam, and I'm going to show you how it ties into Islam. This was God's hint to us that the man who's coming will be a Muslim. I said reasons why the Antichrist will be a moderate Muslim. Number one, the Isaiah 10 calls him the Assyrian. Assyrian descent. The confirmed peace treaty of Daniel 9:27 between Israel and her enemies, which are Muslims, this treaty has to divide the land of Israel, which it will. This is happening today. First resolution to divide Israel happened on December 23rd. Today, 70 nations are meeting. Today, 70 nations are meeting in Paris to make it official. to divide the land of Israel. So I talked about this years ago. And this treaty is to divide the land of Israel, make a Palestinian state, provide a sharing arrangement for the Temple Mount. Thus, the Muslim side must have their own representative who has enough clout with Muslims and the UN and the EU and Israel to be trusted as a man of peace. Let's go. I said there's no way 1.8 billion Muslims are going to follow a Jew, a European, an American, the Pope, or any other Westerner or other religious or political leader who is not Muslim. They simply would never accept anyone as except a direct descendant of Muhammad as their Mahdi. But the most convincing evidence that the Antichrist will be a Muslim is found in Revelation 13 concerning the mark of the beast. Now watch this. This particular verse here was originally written by John in Greek, Koine Greek. And so when he wrote, "For it is the number of a man," talking about the mark of the beast, when he said it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666, he did not write a number. Everybody look, listen to me, this is important. He did not write the number 666. He wrote three letters that have a numerical value. Everybody who knows Bible prophecy knows that both Hebrew, Greek, and Arabic have numbers assigned to all of their alphabet, the letters in their alphabet. It's called gematria. Okay? So John, knowing this, didn't write the numbers. He wrote the letters that equal this right here. Chi, Xi, Sigma. All right? Let's keep going. So here's a little better of what it looks like. So the Chi, 600, the Xi is 60, and the Sigma is 6. That's where it comes from, and that's how we knew it was the, when he said, and then he told us, he said it's the number of a man, and his number, and so when he put the letters, people who knew Greek and knew what he was talking about say, okay, you need to know the numbers of this. So when they translated it into English, they went ahead and just translated it as 666. But let's look at the Greek letters. It's very interesting. Now, this is in one of the older manuscripts, how it's written. Everybody see this symbol? The chi, the xi, with the thing here, and the sigma. Everybody see that? I want you to, it's important to see this. All right, so this is how 666 was written in Greek form in the 3rd century, right? All right, let's keep going. Did anybody notice something that looks familiar? Do you see this right here? Does this and this look familiar? Let me get at least a nod or something. Yes. Does it look familiar?
Yes.
Do you see? 1, 2, 3... And this line with a little crook right here, right? What do you see? 1, 2, 3, line with a little crook. Same symbol in Greek and in Arabic. In Arabic, it's turned this way, and it is the Arabic symbol that means in the name of Allah. I'm not making this up, I promise you. Research this out. Here's the symbol. Matter of fact, you'll see these right here stamped on Qurans right here. In the name of Allah, this symbol. All right, let's keep going. You'll see the Chi symbol also used within Islam. See this? The swords crossed. The groups reinforced the group's militancy. I mean, these are the Muslim Brotherhood, different Muslim groups. And basically, it's their symbol of jihad, right? War against the infidel, which would be me and you, all right? And had a little typo, but it's sigma. And so I said, although its number value here has changed since the first century, back in the first century, the sigma had the numerical value of 6, literally meaning the sigma or the stigma. Be pronounced either way, is a scar, mark, or badge of service. Romans branded or marked their slaves with this symbol. Isn't that interesting? Now let's keep going. So here you got three letters and you put them together. Now, of course, you can put them together reading from right to left. Or if you want to do Arabic, you can read from left to right, or you can read them right to left. Either way, it says the same thing. And let me show you. The X meaning jihad. This means in the name of Allah. This means a mark. Right here. Through jihad, in the name of Allah, make others slaves or to become slaves, putting a mark upon them. Or put a mark upon them to make them slaves in the name of Allah through jihad. Either way you want to say it. Still says the same thing. Now, if you think this is far-fetched, remember, John says it is the number of a man, a man. Everybody hear me? This is a clue. It is the number of a man. And there is a man who started a religion by the name of Islam. And let's look at it. In Islam, there is a thing called everybody say Bismillah. Okay? The Bismillah and the Quran says, in the name of God Allah, most gracious, most merciful, are the opening words of the Quran. The phrase is used by Muslims around the world to open many of their prayers. It is a phrase that opens many Islamic constitutions. This phrase is called Bismillah. And is the key for identifying the correct version of the Quran as it is revealed to Muhammad in 610 AD. The test is performed using gematria, a numerical system, and the ancient world by which letters are assigned to the numeric values. So this phrase, this opening phrase in the Quran, has a gematria or has a number that when you add up all the letters, it has a number that it's supposed to come up to test it to whether it is the correct translation or it's correctly translated the Quran from that Muhammad gave them in 610. Guess what the number is of the Bismillah? The number of the Quran or the Bismillah is 666. In fact, Muslims believe 666 is a holy number and that Christians are the ones who corrupted it to make it of the devil. I'm not joking you. The Bismillah can therefore be thought of as the mark or number of the true Quran. A Muslim website states that the number of the true Quran is 666, and it is that which frees mankind. It concludes that the Christian doctrine relating to 666 to the Antichrist is a deception designed to keep man in bondage. So the Muslims say this. In fact, I've got from the Muslim websites here. You can go ahead and go to the next one. This is straight from a Muslim website. It says, in the words of Muslims, the number 666 is highly publicized all over the world, and it is associated with evil and danger. However, it is not what it seems. It was a satanic trick. The trick was to prevent people from approaching 666. Satan knew that the 666 is the book of God, and people should be kept away from it. So they literally believe that the number 666 is the number of the Quran, it is the number of Muhammad, and it is holy, and that it's in the Christian Bible associated with the devil and the Antichrist is a twist. Let's just remember something. The Bible was finished. The New Testament was finished in AD 95. Muhammad didn't come around until 610 AD. Who was first? Who twisted what? There is not a more Antichrist religion than Islam. Nine times in the Quran, it denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Denies he died on the cross. The Jesus or the Isa, as they call him, of Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible. They say that the Jesus, that our Jesus is going to come back with the Mahdi, and he's going to tell Christians everywhere that they've been wrong and to worship Allah, to worship Muhammad, and you know they're going to tell them all that to basically become Muslim. That's what they believe. I have sat down with a Turkish Muslim who teaches at Auburn University, 2 hours in a coffee shop in Auburn. It's exactly what he believes, told me to my face. Let's keep going. Here's some more quotes from Muslim websites. They even put it down here. The number 666 mentioned in the book of Revelation 13:18 is part of a satanic scheme to hypnotize the minds of Christians. It is intended to cast fear and evil. The reason is to create negative prejudice in the minds of the people when they witness the number 666, the truth. The truth is that the Quran is the 666, the book from the Lord of the universe. The Muslims. The first surah in the Quran, or the first verse of the Quran, 666, is praise, they say. This surah, or this verse, is the gift of God to us to establish contact with Him through our daily contact prayers. So literally every day, a Muslim is praying this 666 out of his mouth in Arabic. This is why it says it is not the number, folks. Listen, we get so focused on 666. The 666 part is just a hint. It's a clue as to who to be looking for, an identity issue. That's why I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that the Antichrist will be, or pretend, he will be a Muslim, and he will pretend to be a moderate Muslim at first. So don't get so caught up in the 666. It's the hint, right? But what he's saying is, don't accept this, the other part of it, the mark in your hand or your forehead. Don't submit to this. See, right now, Western culture in Europe, even in America, are being pressured to what? Submit to Islam. Oh, a Muslim can go in and shoot up and kill a bunch of people, and oh, no, it didn't have anything to do with Islam. Let a Christian or someone that says they're a Christian go shoot somebody. Oh, my God, that's these Christians. We got to get rid of them. Everybody takes up for the Muslims. Oh. Not all Muslims are that way. Let me tell you, the only Muslims that are not that way are the ones who are not practicing what the Quran says to do. Matter of fact, they're told in the Quran to do what Muhammad did. Muhammad killed Jews and Christians, beheaded them, massacred them. Muhammad had sex, had a little six-year-old wife, had sex with her when she was nine. He also liked little boys. So Muhammad was a pedophile. Muslims are instructed in the Quran to do what Muhammad did, that he was the perfect model for mankind. He was a murderer, he was a mass murderer, and he was a pedophile, and he was a serial adulterer. Yeah, he's a prophet of God, right. But the whole world is falling for it. And do you know why the UN now has been over all these years, they get, you know, hundreds of anti-Israel resolutions. How many times did they condemn Syria for their human rights abuses? Three. In the same time period, Israel was like hundreds. Why? Because the Muslim nations control the UN. You know why? Money. Oil money. United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia. Money. Got to have money. Right? Money talks. That's why Hillary was taking all that money from Saudi Arabia. Money. Those sheiks, those oil sheiks, they can just write you a check for $1 billion and not blink an eye. Just make sure that, you know, your laws and the things you do are favorable to Muslims. Oh, sure. We'll hook you up. You know, even Ecclesiastes says money answers all things. Right? Just follow the money trail. You'll find out why. Yeah. Here's what's interesting. Remember the Bible said, in your hand or in your forehead? Why in your forehead? Well, of course, some people don't have hands, right? But I think it's more than that. The Verichip here has developed one that goes in, guess where? Your forehead, too. In fact, there's a Google just came out with brain implants that are supposed to help soldiers with PTSD. Think about that. They're telling you, they've developed something they can put in your brain that will change the way you think and your emotions. Here's what I think is going to happen. Here's why it's dangerous. It's going to be dangerous to take the chip in your right hand and your forehead. I believe that they've developed ways in these chips, according to Google, according to DARPA, that they've developed ways to take away your free will once you submit to this. Now, a Saudi Arabian scientist developed one of these chips with a remote control cyanide dose. You know what that means? They put it in you. You can buy, you can sell. You choose to not comply. Beep. Cyanide dose released. You're dead. You think this is far-fetched? Mission Impossible movie. Girl, he put a chip in her. Beep. Killed her. But they're also toying with DNA, with stuff that'll change your DNA. Stuff that'll change the way you think. See, I'm going to say, as for me and my house, we're done. The government's not putting anything else in our body. You understand? I'm done. I hope you are. I hope you get done with it. Done. Because the governments of this world are now, they have become Antichrist. We were warned about this. Psalm 2 warned us 3,000 years ago. That the world rulers and all would conspire together against the Lord, Yahweh, the God of creation of the Bible, and against his anointed, the Messiah Jesus, the church. They are against us. And I will not bow to them or submit to them. Amen? Now, I want to say something here. I think we're done here. And interesting, some of these other companies. They got the, look at this one. Got the X for the mark in there, right? There's a lot more creepy stuff. I mean, I could actually, and I'm actually doing pretty good. It's only a little after 12. I could give you article after article after article. But I'm just going to tell you what I think here. Which most of you know, I'm not shy. Right? Here's what I think. With this thing going on with the dividing of the land of Israel, December 23rd, 2016, Resolution 2334, with the 70 nations gathered today, and their papers got leaked out of what they're going to agree upon, and that is to divide the land of Israel to create a Palestinian state, to push Israel back to 1967, pre-1967 war borders. Folks, that is, Kevin the other day, Kevin's been with me now for 8 years. We've been talking about all this stuff for 8 years. We've been talking about this very thing, the dividing of the land of Israel, for 8 years, that when that happened, we would definitely know that we're moving into the final 7 years, the Great Tribulation, the time of great trouble. He texted me the other day, he said, I can't even believe that I'm seeing this happen now. But see, I'm telling you, even to some of us Christians, even some of you sitting here, some of you who listen to me regularly, to a lot of you, it's just surreal. You can't wrap your mind around it, that it's happening right in front of you. It's so much easier to put yourself in a state of denial. No, that can't be it. That can't be happening. Oh, yes, it can be. Now think about this. The goal, these people, their goal was to get to this cashless society and everybody having a chip in their hand. Their goal in 2007, 10 years ago, was to have all this done by 2017. You don't believe me? You got it? Now we're going to play an NBC Nightly News clip from 2007 where they said the goal was to get this by 2017. Now, they're still working very hard, but what I've noticed is I think that they were hoping to get there by 2017. But they're just not quite there yet, but it's getting closer and closer and closer. But think about this. Everybody just think about this for a minute, okay? Because, again, this pastor does not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. So I'm not predicting Jesus is coming at any moment here in the next few weeks. That's not what I'm predicting. So don't even get that in your head. Jesus told us what to look for. The only thing he said, no man will know the day or the hour of his coming. I will tell you, I do not know the day or the hour. And it's going to be, we're not going to know the exact day. There's no way to know it. But he said we would know the season, and that the children of light who walk with Jesus and know the Bible, he said, you will not be in darkness. That day won't overtake you as a thief, 1 Thessalonians 5. If you're children of the light, you know the Word of God, you're walking in the truth, you're walking in the Holy Ghost, you're going to a church that preaches the truth, you will not be in darkness. That day will not take you or overtake you as a thief. So he said, if you're watching, you know what the Bible says, you know what to pay attention to, you will know. And folks, I'm telling you, Joel 3, Daniel 8, Daniel 11, dividing of the land. It has happened. It is happening right now. That means we step into this final, I believe, the final years. Now think about this. Did everybody see the articles? Not Pastor Dean. Did everybody see the articles? We want to get to this cashless society by 2020. 2020. 2020. Right? Everybody see that? Everybody see it? I could have listed 20 more. 2020, 2020. Well, here in the beginning of 2017, we have Israel being divided, the fulfillment of a major Bible prophecy. If this begins the last 7 years, 3.5 years from now would be right smack in the middle of 2020. What if? That is where we are. It's very, very possible. I believe they've got a few little things to finish. And I shared it last week. This scenario of Resolution 2334, what they're about to do, they have given legal justification to all the Arab nations now to form a coalition. If Israel does not comply with dividing their land, creating the Palestinian state, stopping all settlements in the West Bank, if Israel does not comply, then the coalition of Arab nations and the United Nations will have a reason to form a coalition and use military force to invade Israel, Ezekiel 38 and 39, Revelation 9, the Sixth Trumpet War, the Gog-Magog War. You say, well, Pastor Dean, people have been saying this stuff was coming for years. Yeah, but the problem with what they were saying it was coming, and that was true. I'm telling you, it's happening. It's happening. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13, he said the day would come that a man would try to tell you that it's all happening. I go, nah. Preachers right now should be telling you it's happening. It's all happening. But what does it mean? Everybody listen. What does it mean? Let's play this clip, and then we'll finish that.
In years' time, by that time, there may be all kinds of new ways to safeguard and identify all those things that make each of us unique, our faces, even our fingerprints, even our eyes. Here now with more on the future of technology, NBC's Tom Costello.
The year is 2017. You're rushed to a hospital, unconscious with no ID or medical history, but thanks to a microchip under your skin, it's all there. Science fiction 20 years ago, but a biometric reality today.
The technology is based on answering one simple question. Am I who I say I am?
Already, fingerprints and iris scans verify passenger identities at airports. Within 10 years, that technology may be even more widespread. And look for more complex facial recognition programs that scan a crowd of thousands looking for a single terrorist.
Today's facial recognition software starts with the eyes. Then it maps out the contours of the face and compares that against a database of millions, a database that's growing by the day.
What's next? At the University of Bath in England, researchers predict big changes for consumers.
I think it is possible to free us completely of our wallets and keys using biometric technology, if that's what people want in 10 years' time.
In fact, it's already here. The latest home security locks use fingerprints to control deadbolts. And at the Jewel Osco grocery store in Chicago, some customers pay using their fingerprints. No paper or plastic.
You don't really need anything other than your hand, and you already got that with you.
So will future department stores scan our irises, like in the movie Minority Report, then offer products catered to who we are?
Hello, Mr. Yakamoto. Welcome back to the Gap.
Experts say that technology is here now. The challenge is to safeguard our privacy in a brave new world. Tom Costello, NBC News, Alexandria, Virginia.
Brave New World. You know, it was a reference to Aldous Huxley, the occultist who was friends with Aleister Crowley and Parsons, his book Brave New World, that talked about creating this world government utopia and marking everybody. He wrote that back in the 40s or something like that. There you have it, NBC News. 2007, 10 years' time. So I believe that was their goal. They don't put anything out by accident. That was their goal. They're trying to acclimate everybody to it. Oh, it's going to be for your health records. It's going to be more convenient. It's going to be, you know, if your kids run away or somebody abducts them, it's you can track them down. Not if they cut the thing out. You won't. Yeah. Oh, and there's ways to zap them and things of that nature. But here's the deal. Why is this all important? Because some of you watching, some of you who will watch this later on, some of you even here, some of you don't even realize it, but you're already submitting to the beast. You're already submitting to the devil. If you won't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you won't obey his commands in your life, then you're already headed down the road. And taking the mark of the beast will just be another step of disobedience for you. And here's the thing. Yes, let's say it's 3.5 years from now. Let's say it's 10 years from now. You may not have another day or two to live. What's already stamped on your hand and your forehead? You love Jesus. You love God. You love the world. You love holiness and righteousness and the things of God, or you love sin and wickedness and evil and lust. What do you love? Yes, if we're alive, if you're alive, I'm alive when this comes. It will be a test of our loyalty, our love, our devotion to God. Are we willing to lay down our lives, to lose everything, to stay loyal to Jesus, to not lose our relationship with him, to not be cast into eternal fire, damnation? You say, well, that sounds harsh, but listen, it's no different. I love my wife with all my heart, but if I call her cheating on me, that's it. I am not putting up with that. Nor would she. And Jesus loves us, but he's not going to have you cheating on him. That's not going. He's not having a bride that he's going to take to heaven that's cheating on him. You understand? When you break up with the devil, you give him back his stuff and you quit hanging out with him and his friends. Right? You cannot love Jesus and love the world. You can't. You cannot do both. Anybody who tries to do both is the most miserable person on the face of the earth. I remember when I was trying to do both. When I was 16 years old, there was a brief period when I was 16 years old, and that was kind of the height of my rebellion and partying. And I remember my dad trying his best because he was at a loss with me. We started going to this little church, and I remember sitting in there, and this is after my experience when I was 11 and 12 years old. I remember having a powerful experience with Jesus when I was 11 and 12, but by the time I was 16, I didn't want to hear it. I was too busy partying, drinking, doing what I wanted to do. Too busy. But thank God, you know, my dad, he took us to this little church out in the country. Oh, tormented me. But I knew the man was right. I knew he was right the whole time. He was right. And, I couldn't wait to get out of there. And I got out of there. And I nearly got killed. I remember leaving that church saying, I'm never going back. My first car, I was 16 years old. I had a 77 Pontiac Firebird with a 350. And I was going down, you guys will know where this is, Johnson Chapel Road. You know where that is? I'd been out all night drinking. All night. This was about 3, 4 in the morning. Going home. You know why I was going home? Because I had to go to work at 6. It was about 3 to 4 in the morning. I left Auburn. Big Auburn, been drinking all night. I remember getting in my car. That's it. The next thing I know, I'm in Auburn. I'm talking about on the other side of Auburn, where the frat houses were. I'm 30 miles away on Johnson Chapel Road in that Firebird, going about 75, 80 miles an hour when I wake up from being passed out. And I literally felt something grab me by the shoulder and shake me. Now, I didn't realize it then, but I believe it was an angel. And I believe it was the power of God that woke me out. I've been drinking, I've been playing quarters with clear string 150 proof liquor, drinking it straight, playing quarters with it. So I was passed out at the wheel. But when I woke up, and you know, people that are passed out don't wake up. But I woke up and I was headed off the road at 70 plus miles an hour, headed for a big tree, because that's all I remember. I remember seeing that tree. I remember going off the road. And all I could do was snatch the wheel. That's all I could do. I just snatched the wheel and did this, just spun. But see, I had a grandmother, a great-grandmother that prayed for me every day, and two great aunts that prayed for me. You know what that car did? It spun around. I don't know how many times I spun 360, but went back up the hill, back up on the road, and ended up in the right lane, going the right way that I was going. Didn't hit anything. Didn't wreck. Didn't flip. I was sober. I was scared. Right? But this is how drunk I was. I went home, passed out. When I woke up at 6 in the morning, which was 2 hours later, maybe a little over, I was still drunk when I got up to go to work. That's how drunk I was. I didn't deserve that. I could have left Auburn that night as a rebellious little punk, 16-year-old, and been dead and in hell. But God had mercy on me because I had praying people praying for me. So what I'm getting at is, yes, are we going to face the mark of the beast? If you live to that point, you're going to face it. It's going to happen in our lifetime, no doubt in my mind. But you may not live that long. It's not about whether you see the mark of the beast and resist the mark of the beast. The question is, will you love Jesus with all your heart? Will you be appreciative of what he's done for you, that he died for your sins on the cross, that he rose from the dead because he loves you? And he says, you must believe in me. You must follow me. See, the churches out there tell you, just believe and you're okay forever no matter what you do, but that's not the truth. So the question is, remember when Jesus said this. He said this, if you don't deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. There are no halfway disciples. There are no halfway Christians. Either you are picking up your cross every single day, and that means you're willing to do whatever God says for you to do. You're picking up that cross and denying self. What does denying self mean? It means that the things that your body, your flesh, your mind, the things that you think you want to do that are against God, you say, "What? I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to deny what myself wants, and I'm going to follow Jesus with all my heart. I'm going to pick up my cross, and I'm going to walk with him daily so I can be his disciple, so I can have eternal life with him in heaven, so I can know my sins are forgiven, and also so I can be a better husband and a better father and a better pastor and a better friend. I was not a good man. When I was in high school and college, I treated women horribly. I treated people horribly. If somebody got smaller than me, I'd knock their teeth out of their mouth. I would drink and drive with no concern about anybody else. I was not a good person. And the devil always comes to you and tries to say, oh, you're a good person. You're not like so-and-so. No, you're not. The only thing that makes you good is to be in Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and walking with him. That's the only thing that makes you good. If you're not doing that, you are not good. There is no righteousness. There is no salvation. There is no eternal life apart from walking in Jesus Christ according to the Bible, according to the Scriptures, according to his commandments, and having an intimate relationship with him. There is no other way. You say, well, Pastor Dean, I prayed when I was 9 years old. I was baptized. Good for you. Where are you today? Are you lukewarm? Are you backslidden? Are you an adulterer, a fornicator, a drug user, a drunkard? Are you an idolater? Are you a lukewarm Christian? What are you today is what you have to ask yourself. What am I today? Am I carrying my cross? Listen, folks, I'm not going to lie to you. Everybody has a flesh and a self. My flesh, sometimes I get so tired, and now that I'm older, my body aches in places I didn't know it could ache. And let me tell you, there are days I would love to not be here, or on a Saturday, not trying to get ready to preach a sermon. I would rather be sitting somewhere watching football and drinking beer. Yes, that's what my flesh would want to do. And if I let my flesh do what it wanted to do, it'd run wild. Because all of us have a flesh nature that must be brought under control through the cross and the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have to do that daily by picking up the cross. And when we pick up the cross, what that's saying is, I'm not going to let my flesh go do that other stuff. I'm going to carry this cross. A man carrying a cross doesn't have time to sleep with somebody else's wife. A man carrying a cross doesn't have time to go to the drug side of town to buy some drugs. A man carrying a cross doesn't care about what other people think. They know the crowd's looking at them and thinking they're a fool. But on judgment day, who is going to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, is going to be the man that's carried his cross day by day by day, the woman that's carried her cross day by day by day and drawn near to Jesus and forsaken this evil world. What's in this world? What did alcohol give me? What did drunkenness give me? What did sexual sin give? Nothing but depression and misery. I would wake up depressed. I could wake up after throwing 5 touchdown passes, playing one of the greatest football games of my life, and wake up completely depressed and not even want to go to school because of the darkness from sin on me. I was the most unhappy, miserable teenager. And the more sex I got into thinking that would make me happy, the more darkness that got, more depression that came over me, the more anger that came over me. Every time I did tried a different drug, I felt a new demon come in me. I didn't know that's what it was then, but I felt it. I remember the first time I did marijuana, I felt the demon come in. The first time I did cocaine, I felt the demon come in. The first time I did mushrooms, I felt the demon come in. And I would get worse and worse and worse. I think about some of my poor girlfriends that I had. Oh, goodness. I literally, at times, waves come over me of how bad I was to them. They didn't deserve that. And they were fools for being my girlfriend. Fools. Because I didn't care. I didn't care about them. All I cared about myself. Let me tell you, when you don't have Jesus in your life, that's all. You can act like, you can go out and say, oh, I'm going to go work at the soup kitchen. That's just so people think you're a good person. So you're still doing it for yourself. One thing we can know for sure, most human beings are consumed, their minds, everything, with themselves. But if you have a relationship with God, you want to be close to Jesus, you'll find yourself thinking about Him. What can I do today to take up my cross and get closer to Him? Not what can I do, get away with and still go to heaven. That's what most Christians are doing today. What can I get away with, Pastor? I mean, now it's even to the point of, can I get away with taking the mark of the beast and still go to heaven? Now that, oh, can I get tattoos and still go to heaven? Can I still get drunk and go to heaven? Can I still be a fornicator, sleep around and just be sexually whatever? Can I and still go to heaven? I mean, we got them now. Oh, I can be homosexual and still go to heaven. No, no, you cannot. Folks, it's God's way or the hell way. Right? AC/DC wasn't wrong. There is a highway to hell. It's a big, wide. You know, it was wild. This morning, when I was getting ready for this message, when I was 16 years old, I'm really going to date myself here. But every morning, getting ready for school, every single morning, you know what I was cranking up? Cranking. Stereo cranking. I feel sorry for my poor parents. I would crank Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil. Anybody remember that song? A few people in here remember this. Huh? What's amazing is there was a little dialogue. There's a little intro to that song. You have to find that you can still find the song online. But there's a little intro, and you know what the intro? I remember I could quote the whole thing, and it was talking about basically the Antichrist coming, and then it said, "Rise up, you children of the beast, be strong and shout at the devil." And there's the pentagrams flashing, boom, boom, boom. And I'm just like, man, they've been brainwashing us and preparing us and pushing us into this for a long time. My parents didn't have enough sense back then to know that stuff shouldn't have been in the house. And it shouldn't, I wouldn't. If my kids tried that mess, I'm hearing, shout at the devil. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going in there and going, that's mine, and that's mine, and that's mine, and that's mine. I paid for it. Guess what? I paid for where you sleep and what you eat and what you wear. So guess what? It's mine. Say goodbye. Not going to be in my house. Not going to hear it. I'm not going to have the demons that are attached to it in my house. Nope. But it's all over the place. So, get ready. What will you do? Will you deny yourself and take up your cross? Luke chapter 13, Luke chapter 14. Will you deny yourself, take up your cross? Will you be ready? Those of you listening, that's going to be the question. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He's the only eternal life. He's the only Messiah, the only Savior, the only way. And you got to do more than believe. Well, I tell you what, that's been the biggest deception in the church. Just believe. No, Jesus, pick up your cross and follow me. If you don't, you're not my disciple. Jesus even warned people would say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Cast out demons, done many wonderful works. Haven't we done stuff for you, Lord? And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You hear that? There are going to be people standing on judgment day that are convinced they're getting in. to heaven. They're, I mean, totally standing before God, convinced, I'm going in. And he's going to say, no, you're not. So I would read the Bible before I listen to most mega churches today. Amen? That's what you will give an account for on the day of judgment. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we come to you today. And my prayer today for everyone here, those listening out there, Lord, and watching, Lord, I pray that their eyes will be open. If they are in sin, if they're lukewarm, if they're prodigals, if they're away from you, if they've never been saved, truly saved. Father, I ask today that you awaken them and you draw them and you reveal yourself to them, Jesus, in a powerful way. And bring them to the place where they can repent and receive forgiveness of their sins and salvation, and where they can begin to learn to take up their cross and deny themselves and follow you. Father, these things are happening. The things you warned us about in prophecy in the Bible, Lord, they're happening all around us. They're happening to this generation. We are the last generation, no doubt in my mind. I pray that from the younger ones to the oldest, we will get ready. Whether through death or if we're standing here alive at your second coming, that we will be ready to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of heaven. Father, I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we go this morning, let's stand. You got to set a fire back there, brother. Let's pray that song. We're going to worship one more song before we go. If you have a tithe or an offering or anything, you can throw a basket on the way out. But let's worship the Lord, and let's make this song this morning a prayer that Jesus would set us on fire for him.
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing.